Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together as we gather around the Word of God. You've tuned me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we now stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others have tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WION 1430 AM, or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, and WION is also heard in the Low Ada area on 100.3 FM. Some of you tune me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we are now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some have tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Others are listening by the way of my website. My website is pastorkenharger.com. You go to Messages from the Lighthouse. Bring your mouse up over that Messages from the Lighthouse, and it'll show up Current Media. Click on Current Media, and it takes you to my storage place, and you'll find a broadcast for this morning right there. If you want to listen to some other broadcasts, there's some that says Past Media, and you're welcome to do that as well. But I welcome each and every one of you to our broadcast. I'm coming to you from the Lighthouse this morning when I came over here. It was really, really cloudy. It was really a heavy cloud. You couldn't see across the lake, but sun is beginning to come up, and it's trying to clear it all off. But man, it's going to be a hot one on this Wednesday, they say. They say the rest of the week is supposed to be pretty hot. But, you know, we're in Ionia Free Fair time, so that's what you got to expect is some good old hot, muggy weather and then some rain now and then. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of my broadcast. A big thank you to Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran. She's from Dayton, Tennessee. To Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, from Greenville. To Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from Orleans. To Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, and to Bill and Judy family, Bill and Judy Hammond family from the building area. I got over here, and I realized that I had forgot my glasses, but then I ran back and got them, and that's why I'm just a little winded. But I'm slowing her down now, okay? Give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. Shiloh's at Shiloh's campus. Saturday evening we begin, 6:30. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, a temporary contemporary service at 10:45. In the Greenville campus, located at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And that's pretty special that God is continuing to use this Church of Shiloh, and we're just so thankful and grateful for that. As we seek to find our new lead pastor, we still have two pastors, but we're seeking to find our lead pastor, and we're looking forward to who God's going to send our way to continue the ministry at Shiloh. All as we come together this morning and continue my study on a divine coach. Today, we're going to look at a divine coach that is a servant to all. Servanthood is sometimes being left out of our society today. You know, it's all about me, myself, and I. And this is the idea of being willing to do some things for other people. Be willing to serve others and be willing to do that because of your relationship with the Lord Jesus. We'll get into that in just a moment. But as we get started, we got a song I want us to listen to. And we trust that this is all going to work good. I had trouble with my other tape, so I'm still using some different songs. And so we're just looking forward to the message that God has for us and asking him to speak to our hearts and show us when he has come unto our lives. It's something that is very special. This song is reminding us that when Jesus was on the cross, we were in his mind. That's what he was thinking about. He endured the cross and all the shame that went with it because he knew the glory that was going to follow afterwards. Let's listen in.
Ego trip, I'm nothing on my own. I've made mistakes, I've often slipped. just come in flesh and bones. But I'll prove someday just why I say I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The look of love his face, thorns were on his head, blood was on that scarlet robe, and stained it crimson red, though his eyes were on the crowd that day. He looked ahead in time. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me. Yeah. I was on his mind.
You know, dear people, that's so awesome when you think about the fact that when he was on the cross, you was on his mind. That's why he was there. Him who knew no sin was willing to become sin for us, that we might have the righteousness of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What a privilege he's given to us. And when I think about that idea of that song, and I think about the fact that it's not just salvation that Jesus has provided for us, not just the forgiveness of sins so we can go to heaven. I believe that's beautiful, and I believe that's wonderful, and I needed that, and you need that. We can't make it on our own. It's not by works we've done. It's according to his mercy that he has saved us. But you know what makes this so special this morning is the idea of what we're talking about, a divine coach that is a servant to all. God had in the back of his mind also that you and I, even before we were born, he had things he would like to see us accomplish on planet Earth. And that's pretty special when you can understand that the creator of the universe, the God that loved us so much that he gave us his Son, says, I got things I want you to do. And one of the ways to do it is to be a divine coach, one that's connected to this one, Jesus, through faith in him, and connected to the Word of God so that we can reach out and serve other people. That's what we're going to address this morning. But before we do, we need to have a word of prayer. I want to remember the listening audience again this morning that God's special blessing. We made it through another week, most of us, I believe. And anyway, we just want to thank the good Lord for his goodness to us. So let's bow for a moment of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for another week. We thank you for your care to each and every one of us. Father, you took took care of us, maybe even with some things that we didn't even know was that close to happening. You've been a good God to us, and we appreciate that so much. Father, we want to remember the listening audience. Want to pray for those that's tuned me in this morning, that your hand of blessing and comfort and courage and strength might be theirs. And as we listen to the message this morning, I pray that we might think about somebody that we could be a servant to, somebody we could give a helping hand up, so to speak, to be an encouragement to their life in whatever way. So whatever the listening audience has gone through this week, Father, I pray that you will be with them and continue to strengthen them and encourage them, because you told us in your word, and that's what we're going to do right now, Father. We're going to cast all of our care upon you, because you care for us. We're going to unload it on you, dear Jesus. We're going to ask you to take it to the Father and seek out what is his will for each and every one of us in this week to come. And Father, it's been a difficult week for some, and so we're going to try to put that behind us, and we're going to move forward. And I pray that you use the message to help us do that. And I'll thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. What a privilege it is to share with you this morning a divine coach that is a servant to others. Let me once again define what I have in mind when I talk about a divine coach. This is a person who is in his relationship or her relationship with Jesus, and as a result of that relationship with Jesus, is trying to come along somebody else, alongside of another person, to help them in their journey of the Christian life, or to come to know this one, the Lord Jesus, to encourage them to move forward in some area of their Christian life. It's kind of like the batting coach, you know, that's trying to get the batter to do a little better job and shares things with him. The pitching coach in baseball that tries to get the pitcher to maybe change a few little things to see if he can get to do it just a little better. I believe this person that is willing in his or her ministry for Jesus to take on the role of being a servant to others for the purpose of introducing them to the Lord Jesus, or for moving them a little closer in their Christian life forward in their walk with Jesus. That's a beautiful thing to be part of. The idea of this teaching began with Jesus himself. He was teaching his disciples. It was a role he wanted them to take on in their ministry when he would be gone. When there arose a dispute among the disciples as to which one of them would be the greatest in the kingdom of God, the 12 disciples have no argument. One thought he was going to be, maybe Peter thought he would be, maybe John, who knows. But anyway, there's a dispute going on between them, and the dispute regarding this idea of who's going to be the greatest when Jesus sets up his kingdom. And then Jesus gave this teaching. The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. This isn't what I have in mind, Jesus is saying to the disciples. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest. You know what he's really saying? Let the oldest become as though you're just getting started. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves, because we take things for granted because we've done it. You know, way over 5,000 funerals in my lifetime. But every time when I head over to do a funeral, whatever funeral home it is, I always pray something like this, and God knows it's my heart. Lord, I've done a lot of funerals, but I've never done the funeral for this person. And God, I want to be fresh. And God, I want to be able to minister to this family in their grief. Make it fresh to me, and then it'll be fresh to them. You know, that's what we need to do, realize. Just because you've done something so long, you know, sometimes we just do it out of habit then, and that's not a good thing. That's not a good way to serve Jesus. And he's saying that's what the Gentiles, they can do. They can take the person that's, you know, he's done it the longest, and so he's going to be the best at it. That doesn't always mean that's that way, you know. But rather, he said, let the youngest become the oldest, rather, or the greatest. One that's had so much experience be like he's a new beginner. And listen to this one. And the leaders as one who serves. God tells us that we are a servant leader. Jesus himself was. He goes on to say that. So he says, this is how he said it. For who is greater, the one reclined at the table or the one who serves? Is not the one who reclined at the table? But Jesus said, now listen, but I'm among you as one who serves. Jesus is saying he set the example. He wants us to be one that serves. That scripture is from Luke 22, 24 to 27. Jesus wanted his disciples that had walked with him and been with him, he wanted his disciples to be servants to other people. He didn't want them to set back and say, wait on me. He said, no, I want you to be the waiter. I want you to be the server. You know, that's something that is very special. I love it down south sometimes when you stop in a restaurant, especially some of the mom and pop's restaurants, they would always say, I'll be your server today. I always like that. I'll be your server today. Many times when I've heard that, I say to my wife, did you hear what that lady just told me? She would be my server today. Now, you got to listen up. Well, I don't know if that causes a good conversation, but no, you did though. I get the point across. God wants us to be a server. I love the way that is shared in the message in the King, in the thing that's a message called the Message. That's a paraphrase of the scripture. Listen to what it says. Kings like to throw their weight around, and people in authority like to give themselves fancy titles. It's not going to be that way with you, Jesus said. Let the senior among you become a junior. Let the leader act the part of a servant. Who would you rather be, the one eating at the dinner or the one serving the dinner? You'd rather be eating and being served, right? But I tell you, I'm here among you as a server. Jesus is saying, I've come to serve. I've come to minister, not to be ministered to. Jesus is saying, I've set before you the model for serving. That's what I want you to follow as you serve me, he's saying to the disciples. And you know what I think he's saying that to you and I today? I think he wants that to be a part of your life and my life with him today. It's a much different model than we see in the world today. In the world today, it's a much different model. When our world today, it's all about, you know, you are the one that's expecting all the service. And a divine coach as a servant of Christ to others. Help us to understand, Father, this week, in this message, you want us, your Son wants us to be a servant. Now listen, I'm not just saying the idea of just giving to those that will take. I'm saying give a hand up, folks. That's what God is saying to you and I this morning. He wants to use you, and he wants to use me in my life to give a hand up to the one that is discouraged, to give a hand up to the one that's tried and seems to always mess up. God wants us to reach out to them and let them know that we really care and love them, and we want to watch over them in whatever way we possibly can. As we continue to look at this divine coach that is a servant to others, Paul shared with the church that was in the town of Corinth. He said, although I am free from all people, I have made myself a slave for all people to win more of them. Now, here's the background for this man, Apostle Paul, that he's going to share with us. Is one of the ideas that he caught what Jesus was asking the disciples. And now Jesus has been asking him because Jesus called him to be a minister to the Gentile people. So he's saying, you know what? I really have my freedoms. I really have things that I have the right to do. But all, he says, although I don't have to do this out of responsibility to anybody, not to my mom, my dad, not to my pastor, not to whoever it is, he says, but you know what? I've made myself a slave, a servant. The reason I did that, he says, is I want to reach out to the people, and in doing so, by becoming a servant to people, I can win more of them. We just think an idea is, you know, that it is the idea they should just come to know God. But you know what God said through his word, and it's taught all the way through the book of Bible, is that we are to go with the message. The question I like to ask is, how do I make myself a slave or a servant to others? I like this question. I like to answer this question rather with a question. Paul asked about the rights that elders have in doing different kinds of work. Does a soldier ever serve in the army at his own expense? Does anyone plant a vineyard and not be able to eat the grapes? Does anyone take care of the flock and not drink the milk from the sheep? I merely stated some human rules. Don't Moses teach and say to you and I, never muzzle an ox when it's thrashing grain? Let the ox eat. He won't overeat. He's doing the work. Let him eat. God's concern isn't for the ox. Isn't he speaking entirely to your benefit and to my benefit? That it was written for our benefit that a person who plows and thrashes should expect to receive a share of the crop. Isn't that a beautiful thing when you think about it? You know, sometimes the Lord taught in the Old Testament that when they got their first fruits, they was to bring it to the temple or to the synagogue. You know what, folks? I don't have a garden this day and age, but I got to tell you, there's nothing like a tomato from your own tomato vine. There's nothing like going out and pick a few string beans and have some string beans to eat. Did a funeral this week, and one of the memories they said they had is this grandma took her grandchildren, a couple boys she had, she took them blueberry picking. And she had a nice bunch of blueberries, and she went to see what the boys had in their little buckets they had, and they had no blueberries. You know what they were doing? They were eating them. They was just eating them. They wasn't helping Grandma in any. They was just eating all the blueberries, and when she went up to pay for the blueberries that she had picked, she said, maybe all the way the boys, because they've been out there eating the whole time. And that probably would have been a good idea, but you know what? Sometimes that's where we're at as an individual. And God's saying, you know what? You have the right to eat the first tomato you planted the vines or the seeds. But he's saying, you know what? I set it all aside. Just think, if you're wanting to give up your rights to benefit others and not doing it just to benefit yourself, he says, Paul said, I haven't used these rights. I haven't written this in order to use them now. I'd rather die than have anyone turn my bragging into meaningless words. I love doing it, he's saying. If I spread the good news, I have nothing to brag about because I have an obligation to do this. How horrible it will be for me if I didn't spread the good news. I spread the good news willingly. I have a reward for that. But if I spread the good news unwillingly, I don't have nothing. I have nothing to brag about. I'm just doing what was entrusted to me. So what is my reward? It is spread the good news free of charge, that way I won't use my rights to belong because I belong to the Lord Jesus. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The kind of divine coach is willing because of his or her relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants to take his life or her life and reach out to the lives of others. And some of that is not just helping another Christian. Some of that is helping a person to come to know who this Jesus is. What you have experienced and what you are enjoying, we want to pass on to somebody else and let it be a big part of their life as well. So he's reminding us in the book of Proverbs, listen to this, folks, he that winneth souls is wise. You want to be a wise person, he said? Then reach out and try to touch the lives of others with what you know about the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's just asking to be a witness. A witness is not supposed to tell what they don't know. A witness is supposed to tell what they've seen and what they have experienced. And that's what Jesus is asking us to do. And Paul is saying, I'm willing to do that. And if I have to set aside some of my rights, some of the freedoms that I have, he said, I'll do that in order that I might reach more people for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, today we're thinking about the fact of what this means to your life and my life. It has to do with our identity, who we are. When I do funerals, I always like to ask the family, what's some of the things he liked to do? You know what I've come to believe with all of my heart? I love telling a person's story after they have passed away, because we need to celebrate that life. And you know, when the people tell me things, oh, he liked to hunt, he liked to fish. He wasn't much into bowling, but he did like golf. And I start getting a little picture of what this man enjoyed doing. And what was a big part of that life? You know what? The things that we do and the things that we put great value on gives a little window into our life, what we're like as a person. And that's what God wants us to know. He wants us to know our identity. So let me give you an idea of what I think the Bible teaches us when we place our faith in Christ about identity, which makes me think of putting yourselves in the other person's place. Or the other person's position. It just kind of helps you to be able to do this. Listen, Jesus modeled this for us. Who being in the very nature of God, he did not consider this equality he had with God something to be used to his own advantage. Now listen what Jesus did. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. You see, what the Lord Jesus did to come to planet Earth, he was equal with the Father. He was there at creation. He's been there ever since, the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, making up one God. But this one Jesus was willing to set aside all of that. Sometimes it's described as he is willing to empty himself of all of that. He was willing to become a human being. He was willing to have limitations. He had no limitations. He was willing to take upon himself the human flesh. And so he was born a little baby in a manger. And from that time on, his purpose was to identify with people so he could consider what they go through, so he would know what it was like, so when they come to him in prayer, he would be able to help. It tells us in the scripture, he was all points tested like you and I, and yet he didn't sin. Right now, when you and I come to him, he knows what those testings are like, and he's able to be a help to each one of us. Paul, because of his relationship to Jesus, he wanted to be able to identify with all people. So listen to what he said in the book of Corinthians chapter 9, 20 and 22. To the Jew, I became a Jew in order to win the Jew. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I'm not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside of the law, I became as an outside of the law, not being outside of the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I may win those outside of the law. Listen to what he says now. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I love that. That's the framework for what I'm talking about this morning. You're willing to identify with other people in your family, other people in your community, other people in your workplace. You're willing to identify with them, to understand what they're feeling. If they are a weak person, you identify with them as a weak person. You know what he says? I repeat it again. I have become all things to all people, by all means, that I might win some. To become a divine coach to others because of our relationship we have with Jesus, we need to remember that our identity as a Christian is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be like He is. I love this verse to explain the identity in Jesus, that Christ may dwell in you hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That's in Ephesians 3:17. After He told us in Ephesians 2 that we are His children by faith, we are called by God to live out what is our identity. Our identity is in Jesus Christ, and He takes my life. I came across this, and I like it really well. It's from the book of Matthew. Jesus is teaching, again, probably from the paraphrase type. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously. Live graciously towards others the way God lives towards you. That's good to know. That's good to understand. That's good to be a part of our life. You know what made that possible? It made it possible because of the old rugged cross. And that old rugged cross is the answer to each one of our lives. And we're going to listen to a song that tells us that. The old rugged cross made a difference in my life. It changed my life from thinking just about me, myself, and I to see what I can do to reach out to other people's lives. Let's listen in.
Twas a life filled with aimless desperation. Without hope, walked the shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched down. Then a new life began, and the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. The sight of a saint there.
cross made a difference for me, made a difference in my life. It's made a difference in how I look at life. That's what Paul was saying. That's what Paul is trying to get us to understand that God wants to do in our life as a divine coach that's willing to be a servant to others. You know what Paul does next, which I really like because I've been using the idea of sports too, thinking of a coach. He goes to the sports world and he talks about some of the things that is necessary there. He talks about the sport of running a race. And he's talking about the strategy you need to have in order to win. The same thing is true in the ministry that you and I are doing for the Lord Jesus. We need to have a strategy in what we're doing. I do all this, Paul says, for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all runners complete, but only one receives the prize? So run, he says, that you may obtain the prize. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do this to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable blessing. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after I preach to others, I myself may become a castaway. An idea that I may become an antique, God not being able to use me. I love the idea of ministering to others with the idea in mind of receiving the blessing as they respond to the ministry. One of my favorite verses that talks about this is in the book of 3 John chapter 1, verse 4. I have grown no greater love, John says, than to hear that my children walk in the truth. He wasn't talking about his physical children. He was talking about those that he won to the Lord Jesus. And now they are walking in the truth, and that's such a blessing. To be a divine coach, news of God in this way, Paul shares, it's like the sports of running a race or fighting a fight. If you're going to run, run to win. That's what you want to do for that. You want to be able to win not just your life, but you want to be able to win others to God and to the things of God and help somebody along the road and that's not doing quite so well. You see, runners have coaches, too, to tell them how to do the particular run. And people learn that from themselves, how to pace themselves and those kinds of things. Run to finish the race. And I think that's what God's asking you and I to do. The same thing is true fighting. He says, I don't just beat the air. You know, you take your hands and pretend you're hitting somebody. He says, I don't do that. But he says, I hit the target. And you and I got to realize that's God's plan. He wants to use your life to touch the life of somebody else. He wants to use your life as a believer to touch the life of an unbeliever. He wants to use your life as a Christian to touch the life of another Christian and bring about some things in their life that would be very beneficial. And that's good. He wants us to know that. What we do, whatever we do, we need discipline. And the discipline is to keep on reaching out. Watch our own lives. Don't just become preacher to somebody else's life. Just don't become the idea you're telling somebody else how to live. But you're living that yourself. And he's telling us, you know what? When they get all done running the race, you know what they got? They got a wreath. It was flowers. And it lasts for a little while. Maybe some pine or other kinds of thing. It would last for a little while, and then it wouldn't be any good for anything. God's saying, you know what? I want you to understand. I want you to understand that when you do this for me, it's not only what I'm doing, the blessing of you being used by me and how good that feels to you, the blessing that you've helped somebody else either come to know the Lord Jesus or to grow in the Lord Jesus. He said, that's not only all there is. I'm going to reward you for it when it's all said and done. I'm going to give you a reward for what you have served me with. They're doing some work next door. If you hear a machine is running, they just started running that, and I got to have my windows open because there is a little breeze, so I don't know if that's going to bother anyone. But anyway, you know what? God gives us a warning. He says, you know what? You got to keep your own body under control. And he says, you know why you need to do that? To make sure you're going to be able to finish the race, going to be able to win the fight. You know what he's saying I want you to do? I want you to give it all you got. Because otherwise, you know what happens? We disqualify ourselves. We can become unuseful to God when we do it just out of habit. We do it just out of the idea of it needs to be done. We do it because somebody's got to do it. That's not good enough for God, folks. I remember when we was building on all the church work that we did through the 50 years that I was pastor there at Shiloh Church. A lot of that, we'd hire one carpenter, and then we'd have lots of volunteers from the church family. And that was a beautiful way. Saved us a lot of money, and we did a lot of work. And then everybody had a part in it, and they felt good because they had a part in doing some of the work that we did there in the carpenter's site as far as making the buildings that we got there. And that's been very, very special. But you know, one thing that I liked about it is it was not only fun, but it's a reward even today that all these years later, there since that beautiful campus in Orleans, Michigan, called Shiloh Community Church. And many, many people that's passed on to the Lord were part in building that building together. And I'm here to tell you, folks, God's going to reward them. He's saying, I'm going to bless you because of the things that you did. Well, I got one more thing I want to share with you as we bring our service to a conclusion this morning. We're talking about this idea of coming to the point where we become a castaway, or we become an antique, or we kind of disqualify ourselves from doing what God would maybe really want us to do as an individual. And you know, what he's going to talk about now comes from a different book. It's not coming from the church that he was teaching in Corinth about the things that I've been sharing with you so far this morning. But a divine coach, in order to make sure you don't become unuseful to God, you don't become a castaway, you don't become an antique. Listen to what he says in the book of Romans chapter 14. Many believe Paul wrote this book as well. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this end Christ died and rose and live again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and of the living. I love that. He's telling us your life has been changed, and your life is talking about your relationship with God while you live and your relationship with God when you die. And that's good to know. You know, you don't want just to have the idea that we're just living and dying. Got to be a purpose behind that. Got to be something that God wants to accomplish in our lives. He goes on to say, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one of us give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve that this is not, we're not going to put a stumbling block in somebody else's way that's going to cause them to fall. He reminded us that's why we should not judge our brother. That's why we should not show contempt. For one day we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every single one of us is going to give an answer for our own individual life. And that's good to know as a background for what he's trying to teach us. If you keep that in mind, if you keep that in mind as you do this service for God, as you keep that in mind as you do the things that God is asking you to do in your own individual life, you know what he's saying to us? He's saying, I want you to know that's going to help you to keep on keeping on. You know what happens sometimes in the Christian circle? Is after we've been with God for a while and we've done the things that we know God wants us to do, all of a sudden it's easy to become judgmental of other people, to judge them. And he said, I don't want you to be doing that. I don't want you to be judging other people. Remember, you had to identify with them. And if you identify with them, you can't do that by judging them and speaking against them. You know what he said? Another word that I really like to help us to see what this is all about. He said, don't have contempt for people. this contempt he's talking about is you just have a feeling that you don't know if it's worth it or whatever, this individual. You don't know if you can even get through to this individual, and you kind of think they're worse off than they are. And you know it's not us that's going to make the change in that person's life. You know, a kind of good way to do it is, but by the grace of God, that could be me. That could be you. God's been good to us, and we need to give him thanks for that. He's trying to remind us this one Jesus is what it's all about. This one Jesus who lived, who died, who rose again. And one day he's coming again for you, and he's coming for me. But he reminds us, every single one of us, will one day stand before the Lord judgment seat. He'll look at our lives, and he'll look at the lives of others. And you know, if you've been a blessing in somebody's life and they didn't respond, God's going to look at that life. Why didn't they respond? He's going to be asking them those questions. That's why he wants you and I to remember, you're not the judge. You're just a servant of the judge. And you're to serve him in a way that's not judgmental with other people. That has not become a part of our life. I love the thought that when we belong to God, whether we live or die, we're very secure in place for our lives. That gives security to us. This security isn't something that we've brought about in our life. This security is because Jesus died and rose again. And he's the one that's brought this new part to our life. We must come to what can disqualify us in the ministry with our brothers in the faith. Now, I think he's talking here about you and I trying to help another Christian. And that's the way it's supposed to be. One Christian helping another Christian in their journey. Just like the batting coach helps the batter. Most batting coaches have been batters. Most pitching coaches have been pitchers. And so they take the things that they've learned and they take the things that they continue to learn. And by the way, there's the key. We continue to learn. We don't think we've ever arrived. You know what? I believe with all my heart you can disqualify yourself pretty swiftly if you think you've already arrived. If you think that everything's just fine, you're just doing wonderful, I think you can disqualify yourself. But he said, remember, he said, we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account of what we've done with our lives before him. And so that person that you and I are trying to minister to, they're going to stand before the Lord. We need to keep this in our mind and in our heart. Listen to the next thing he says, because the next thing is something that really speaks to each one of us. Every knee shall bow to Jesus, and every tongue shall confess, for we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And every one of us will give an account for himself. That will make you and I think twice before we pass judgment on someone else. I think we'll think twice. You know what I believe with all my heart? I believe when you became a Christian, God added something to your Christian life, which is called the spiritual gifts. And I believe the spiritual gift that he's given to you can be used to bring honor to God if we keep ourselves in mind who we really are. God, speaking in the book of Romans later, says, as for one body, it has many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we as a body of Christ, the church, we have many members, and individual members one of another, having the gifts of different things according to the grace of God given to us. Let us lose them. Let us use them to do the prophecy and the portion of your faith. If service, in our service, the one who teaches is his teaching. We need to realize that whatever we're doing, if it's service to God, whatever it is that we're doing to him, he's saying, you know what I want you to know? I want you to know that you use that for God's kingdom. And this, I just got to share this last part of this verse because it's a powerful way. The one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. You know what God's looking for us to do? He's looking for us to be able to share with him the idea of what he has done in your life And now he wants to work through you and reach out into the lives of others. Got a song I want us to listen to, and now it's going to be about 2.5 minutes. But you know, I want to share this with you for this purpose, because we need to know that God is reminding us that one day we will bow before him. And this song is reminding us of the time that one day when we get to heaven's glory, all heaven and all whatever it is, and see our loved ones and whatever that is, that whatever that's going to be like for each and every one of us. But you know, there's one thing that's really going to make it special. Above everything else, folks, is one day we'll get to see Jesus face to face. You know, there's a song out today that says, I can only imagine, and that's what we can only do. But one thing he tells us, I believe, that when we see this Lord Jesus, we're going to want to bow down before him. And that's what this song is going to share with us, as we bow down before this one Jesus and what he's done in your life and what he's done in my life. And we bow down before him in that love that he has for us. I trust that this has been a benefit to your life, that God will lead you and direct you, that you'll become a servant of others, knowing that that's the way God can use you the best. Let's listen in. God bless you. Have a good week.
To the sun.